Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours.
Yes.
That's why we get together like this, huh?
That's why
that's not the real reason. We actually get together to hear the voices of the people who are going to call in.
Yeah, the people who are calling in this very second.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Let me give that phone number out. It's 650-723-9010. We'd love to hear from you. If you've called before, call us again. If you haven't called before, give us a call. If you're afraid to call, give us a call.
Especially if you're afraid to call.
Especially if you're afraid to call. We've had a couple wonderful calls like that, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
And I think then the folks get over that initial and then it becomes easy to join in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually on retreat this week.
Yes.
And the same thing happens in a live group. You know, there are people who are used to the process that we do, you know, that's sitting around having conversations about these kinds of topics, and so they just jump right into the conversation, and there are the people who are waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And periodically I'll say, now, if anybody's got voices inside that are telling him, you know, don't say anything, just be quiet, you're going to make a fool of yourself. You know, better to be quiet and have people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and prove it.
Yes.
And so I encourage them that, you know, keeping quiet like that is not serving anything that we would call possibility. it's serving fear and closed down and cautious and, you know, what we often talk about as self-hatred, but it's not serving anything that we might call a good purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So to just face that and take a deep breath and know that it's going to be uncomfortable and go ahead and jump in there anyway, and the more we do that, the easier it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And the application for the rest of life is just huge, because what stops us? What stops us from doing what we want to do and being who we want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing is stopping us in every case. So when we challenge that belief system, when we confront that fear, then we're freed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well worth it.
Well worth it.
Uh-huh.
So give us a call today. You can reach us at 650-723-9010.
Now, people who have been around me before, would say, this woman, talking is not a problem for her. You know, give her a topic, and she just goes. I have one gal who talks about me as a faucet. You know, you just turn it on, and then it just goes until you shut it off.
Yes.
And that is true. And when I was first doing this work, I was sent out by my teacher with another monk to do workshops with people. And the workshop would start on Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and it would often be Saturday night before I could get the courage up to open my mouth and say something.
Mm-hmm.
And my voice would shake so hard that I would think, no one's going to be able to understand me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be shaking so hard in my body that you could see me, you know, hopping on my little meditation cushion.
Uh-huh.
It was hideous. It was miserably uncomfortable. I hated it. It was only my love of Zen awareness practice that caused me to find the willingness to do it. And now, it's easy. It's, it's something that I love to do. I love to talk with people.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not uncomfortable. I don't shake. It doesn't matter how big the crowd is,
mm-hmm.
Simply because I've done it long enough that I'm, just doesn't make me nervous any longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Comfortable with that experience.
Pardon me?
You're comfortable with that experience.
Yeah, and coming, you know, the one of the monks that I went out with from the monastery was a teacher,
mm-hmm.
a college teacher. Standing up in front of groups of people and talking to them was easy for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my attitude was, well, send her. Why do I have to go? And, of course, now I know why I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like I could stay at the monastery and not face my fear of talking with other people and ever find freedom. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
So each time we run into something that stops us, if we want to be free, we have to get through it. We just have to. It's not, you know, it's not one of those you should because it'll make you a better person. It's just there'll be no freedom until we do.
Uh-huh.
And once we realize that and start through the process, then whatever it takes for us to get through it is worth it. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, it can be miserable. It's sweaty palms and upset stomach and headache and embarrassment and all those things. But it's just what we got to do to get through it. And pretty soon, it'll be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. That process of finding freedom.
Yeah, and even if, I remember reading about, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, to know who Ethel Merman was, but she's a very famous Broadway star.
Uh-huh.
For 100 years, and apparently she never got over stage fright that was bad enough that she would be sick at her stomach before every performance.
Wow.
And she still performed.
Uh-huh.
And I imagine she got fairly comfortable with getting sick at her stomach before she performed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I found that astounding because most people, when they do something over and over and over for a long period of time, you know, there might be still some nervousness or anxiety, but not to that degree. But
mm-hmm.
for her, there was.
Mm-hmm.
She never moved beyond that, and it didn't stop her from doing what she wanted to do.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just the price you pay. Get sick, go sing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fascinating. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. We'd love to talk with you today. Give us a call at 650-723-9010. Whatever you want to talk about is wonderful, and we'd love to hear from you. Sherry, I have a couple of announcements here. Sherry Huber will be at Kripalu in Massachusetts.
That's right.
April 30th.
When is that going to be?
April 30th to May 2nd.
That is correct. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday workshop.
Yes. When You're Falling Dive, Acceptance, Freedom, and Possibility. And for more information, you can go to Kripalu's website, which is kripalu.org. That's spelled KRIPALU.ORG.
Yes, and we tried to do that several times in the last couple of days and had no success.
Oh, I see.
So if people try it and have no success, they can either call Kripalu or they can call us.
Uh-huh.
We'll help out with that. So, yeah.
I see.
It might not be quite as simple as we just made it sound, but it can happen.
I see. And should they call us here at the radio station or email us? Or
They can contact the Zen Center.
Okay.
It could be the easiest way. Information@thezencenter.org.
Yes.
Or they can go to my website.
Yes. Sure.
Find out all the information if they're surfing around.
Exactly. And
So we're gonna be looking at exactly what we were just talking about. That's really kind of a perfect segue that you made there.
Yes.
Looking at the ways that we've gotten stuck. Sensations in the body get identified as something that is scary or that we want to stay away from or don't want to confront or that sort of thing. And then as time goes on and that becomes more entrenched, there's more and more of life that we can't participate in because we're getting signals from this internal system that says, no, don't go there, don't do that. So over the weekend, we're going to be looking at how we can unhook from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And move into a world of choices instead of a world of limitations.
Uh-huh. Unhook those meanings from those sensations that come up in our body.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that sensations, once again, can just be sensations.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, just a signal that I'm alive, not a signal that I'm in danger and I should shut down and I have to be afraid and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. So if you're interested in that workshop, you can check out the website, kripalu.org, O-R-G. That's KRIPALU.org. Or you can send an email to information@thezencenter.org. If you want to join our conversation today, give us a call at 650-723-9010. If you want to get in touch with us when we're not on the air, feel free to send us an email, and you can reach us over the internet at openair@kzsu.org. And Sherry, we've been hearing from people all over the world. It's been really great.
Don't you love that?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Listeners in England and all over the U.S., Colorado, Montana, California. And if you haven't emailed us and you want to let us know that you're out there, we'd love to hear from you. And you can send an email to that same address. And if you'd like to hear an occasional email update from us as well, you can indicate that in the message too.
Have you gotten any emails?
Email questions or emails from our listeners?
Email questions.
I do have email questions. And we have callers on the line here.
Oh, well. They come first.
They come first. I'd like to welcome Barb from Washington. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
How are you today?
Doing quite well. It sounds like you're at the bottom of a very long tunnel filled with reverberation. Are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, that's good.
Am I sounding better now?
Is your radio turned down?
Yes, it's all the way down.
Okay.
Do I need to
Well, then this
off?
Is the best we've got.
Okay. Well, I was listening to you speak about emotions in the body, and my question is, when these strong emotions come up, such as fear of public speaking or whatever, what do you do when you just freeze?
Uh-huh. Okay, that's good. What I encourage people to do when they just freeze is survive.
Okay.
Just survive it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever happened to you?
Well, I took Toastmasters because I was so afraid of public speaking, and like I wanted to overcome that. And I've done really well with overcoming a big part of it. However, there are times, such as when it's impromptu speaking, that I'm still scared to death and I just freeze.
Now,
but
I'm asking you is, I hear that you're scared to death, but do you literally freeze? Did you stand there unable to say anything?
No. I managed to say something, but it sounds very, to me, not something that I want to put out there.
Okay, so there are two things involved in this that are interesting to me. Well, there are many things, but the first one is that you're getting information that isn't true. So the line is, and I just freeze.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, that's never happened to you. Okay?
Correct.
So the second thing is, well, yeah, I say something, but it's not what I want to say. It's not how I want to be represented or what I want to put out there.
Okay? That's true.
Yeah. So that is often nothing more than who's listening to it. So almost everybody that I know says, I can't stand the sound of my voice. So if they listen to a tape or that sort of thing with their voice on it, they can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean there's something wrong with their voice? Or is the difficulty in the ear of the listener? Are you with me?
It means that there's difficulty in the ear of the listener.
Yeah. So
it's a perception.
Somebody, that's right, somebody is listening who is coming from a very judgmental place.
Correct.
Yeah. So those two things are really important to get right off, yeah?
Okay.
So you're doing a process already that is what I think is the very best thing we can do under these circumstances. You've joined an organization where you get to speak over and over and over and over and over to practice this so that you get to watch this whole process happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so two of the things that you get to notice is, right off, along with the other things that you've been noticing, one, somebody assesses this and comes to a conclusion that's not true, but is very scary. That you stand up there and you freeze to be here.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But in fact, it's never happened to you, which is really important to notice.
But okay? It might.
Then you have somebody who listens to you from a really judgmental perspective who says, okay, yeah, you talk, but it's not anything worth hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get to look at that person rather than being focused on the person who's speaking, because the person mm-hmm. who's speaking is speaking. They're practicing speaking. She's learning how to do public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Is this all making sense?
It makes sense intellectually.
Yeah.
It still is. So what you're saying is intellectually, yes, but your body
will go
through all the experiences.
I'm saying that because of this process that's in place, the
uh-huh.
person who's speaking is getting tortured.
Correct.
Yeah. That's not intellectual. Okay. Now, does what she's feeling feel awful? Sure. If somebody says, you're going to get up there and freeze, you're going to make a fool of yourself, you're going to look like an idiot,
uh-huh.
and then go ahead, get up there and look like an idiot. Make a fool of yourself. Go ahead, you're going to freeze. Of course she's afraid.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then afterwards,
right.
if the feedback she gets is, well, what you said was really not worth listening to, of course she doesn't want to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not about intellectual. It's about getting it that there is something actively being done to this person that when that stops is dramatically going to affect her ability to do public speaking.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that thought?
What do you do with that
thought?
Well, you recognize it for what it is.
Just a thought.
So if you had a friend, and we'd have to put that in quotes, who knows that you're doing this speech-making thing and says to you, well, you know, you're going to freeze. You're going to make a fool of yourself. Why are you doing this? You don't have anything to say that's worth hearing. How much of a friend would you consider that person to be?
Not a very good friend.
Not a very good friend. Now, would you have that person as your Toastmaster coach?
No.
No. In fact, you would, we hope, pretty quickly write off anything that person said.
Right.
That's the relationship
them.
I'm encouraging you to have with that person.
Okay.
So what you're doing is placing yourself, and in my language, as conscious, compassionate awareness,
mm-hmm.
in between the person who's going to get up there and give that speech
mm-hmm.
and this critical, judgmental voice who, let's face it, hates her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're going to be coaching and mentoring her, encouraging her, supporting
mm-hmm.
her, and you're going to be running interference so that she doesn't have to take on this abuse from this critic.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Gotcha.
Yeah. So now practice that for a while and then let us know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Barbara. You're listening to Open Air with Cher Huber on KZSU Stanford. We'd love to talk with you today. Our number here is 650-723-9010. Sherry, I was struck in your conversation with Barbara about getting clear about who's on our side and who's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we are so accustomed to hearing those voices that it doesn't even strike us as what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, we don't even hear it as hateful. It's just true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to get up there and freeze. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You don't have anything worth saying.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, that's not hateful. It's just true.
Mm.
No, it's not true. It's just hateful. So to take that step back and say, now, is the information I'm getting coming from compassion? If it is, then I'll attend to it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, I don't need to give it any attention at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I say that very quickly, and I understand that that's more difficult to accomplish than it is to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a practice. It's a process. of learning to recognize those hateful voices and to disconnect from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process that we have to practice over time. And it's absolutely manageable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it works really well with voices inside and voices outside. So, you know, if you have somebody in your life who talks to you that way, you can just get it that, whoa, that's hateful, and I don't need to take that on. I don't
mm-hmm.
need to be involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to believe it or feel bad because I don't need to do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like some hateful talk show on the radio.
Yes.
I switch the channels.
Switch to open air with Cher Huber. We'd love to hear from you here. The phone lines are open. That number is 650-723-9010. Sherry, I have some email questions here also.
Okay.
Dear Sherry, I have read most of your books and listened to nearly all of your radio shows, but I don't know if I understand the word, quote, director when you use it. To tell you the truth, I don't know who is the director. Sometimes you have asked us to change our habits by doing something we usually don't do, or not doing what we usually do. In the action of this change, we are liable to feel, quote, different thinking. For example, I like this more than I thought, or I like this less than I thought, or this is awful, or this is not so awful. Still, Sherry, which one is the director? Our reaction or our awareness? If the director is really our awareness, would a major motion picture ever get made? Thank you from one of our listeners.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Now, in my experience, I don't use the word director.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if the writer means what I mean when I say mentor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'll often use mentor interchangeably with conscious compassionate awareness.
Uh-huh.
It's not that they're technically interchangeable, but they're close enough that once we start having the experience, the difference becomes clear to us.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm at center, the world looks a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
If that center had a voice,
yes.
It would talk like a mentor.
Yes.
So it would be kind and compassionate and understanding. It would be clear. And it would be direct without being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking maybe that's what is being pointed at. If
mm-hmm.
not, I hope this person will write again and let us know. But if it's the mentor, then and the question is, would a major movie ever get made? This is such a great kind of fundamental misunderstanding that an awful lot of us grow up with about how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that, and it's not an accident. Egocentric karmic conditioning, which is, as you know, what I call that illusion of being separate from life, that I, me, my, center of the universe, gotta survive no matter what kind of perspective, would have us believe that without it, nothing would ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
That everything in life comes from ego.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing in life actually comes from ego. Everything in life comes from life.
Uh-huh.
And egocentric karmic conditioning sort of goes along right behind the moment,
uh-huh.
saying, I want that. I did that. Not that. Yes, that. No, I want that over there. Okay, that's...
Mm-hmm.
And it's just enough behind the present, that it's close enough to the present that it's very difficult to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not really difficult to tell the difference. It's just one of those experiences that until you have it, you don't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you have it, so in Zen, there's this image of a gateless gate.
Yes.
And so you come up to this huge, giant wall. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't anything. And then all of a sudden, poof, you're on the other side of the wall. And when you look back, you realize that there always was a way through it. There always was a passage through it because the wall was never real. So there's a belief that it's impossible to get through it. Suddenly you're on the other side, and you realize that, the whole impenetrability of it is an illusion. I don't know if this is making any sense, but and so we have that kind of experience all the time in our lives. The retreat that, I'm doing right now, we're talking about ways that we are, that we have always been, that we never noticed. And how astounding it is to realize, oh my, it's like, excuse me just one second.
Yeah, sure.
I got so excited I choked myself. So maybe I say a word all the time. So I say so.
Like.
So I say so all the time. But I never heard myself say so. So every word, every sentence starts with so. So I'm talking about this, and so I'm talking about that, and so then I came to this, and I never heard it. Now, how is that possible? Because I'm starting every sentence with this word, and I've never noticed that I start every sentence with this word. Once I notice it, then it's so glaringly obvious that if I'm not careful, I will be embarrassed that I had been missing it all that time. Now, the embarrassment is a ploy on the part of egocentric karmic conditioning to keep me from just staying in the awareness. Okay? And it's also a very subtle training that we have to pay close attention to avoid. I notice how I am, and I'm embarrassed. I notice how I do things, and I feel bad. I notice how I am in the world, and the information that I get is, that's not okay to be that way. So what I'm learning to do is not notice. I'm not being taught not to be that way. I'm taught to be that way and never know that I'm that way. This is very dangerous for awareness practice, as you can well imagine.
Yes.
So, as I become aware of something like the so, or the way that I'm behaving, it moves into this really obvious, oh, I can see it, and I can see it there, and I 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 see it there. And if we love awareness more than we want to cling to an outdated system of feeling bad about everything, then we get really excited about the things that we're seeing. Okay? So in that way, the difference between center, conscious, compassionate awareness, and the mentor, until I've had the experience, it's all just really vague. It can sound, you know, kind of like mumbo-jumbo. It's just lingo. It's, what are these people talking about?
Yes.
And then you have the experience, and it's, oh, I see. I got it. And the difference is huge. So it's only subtle until we get it. And then it's enormous.
Fascinating. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Stay tuned to KZSU. Coming up at 5:45 p.m., we have Stanford baseball until 8 p.m., and then we have the Bot of Euphony from 8 to 10 p.m. Sherry, I have another email question here.
Now, Michael, I got so involved in that. Did we actually address that person's issue?
I believe we did. You're looking at the issues of who inside us is the director, was the question.
Yeah, and if it all comes down to conscious, compassionate awareness, how does anything ever get done?
Yes.
And so that realization that everything is coming from life, And it's that illusion of a separate self taking credit for everything that makes us afraid to let go of the ego for fear there'd be nobody home.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing would ever happen. We'd just kind of sit in a chair, incapable of participating in life because we've let go of this illusion of a separate self. When in fact, as soon as we let go of the illusion of a separate self, whoosh, life is there in all of its fullness and magnificence, and there is just more energy than we can cope with and more things to do than we can possibly get involved with, and it's terribly exciting.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful.
Okay. Now I feel complete and ready for the next.
Good. We have a caller on the line here. I'd like to welcome Susan from California. You're on Open Air with Cher Huber.
Susan.
Are you there, Susan?
Michael,
do you think
it would help if people turned their radios off on their computer or their whatever it is?
Oh. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Getting feedback from me?
It might be an issue here at the station. I'm not sure.
Okay. I wanted to bring up something that happened this morning, and even as I was waiting to talk, a voice was saying, you know, this is really kind of insignificant. You know, it's just really kind of small.
Yeah.
So that was going
on. Just keep quiet about it, Susan. It's just don't bother with it. Just keep it to yourself.
Well, I think that's how I was raised, to be quiet. What happened is I belong to a gym, and it's very much community to me. People bring their dogs out front, and they have child watch, and I've been there a long time, and it's a really strong connection for me. And I was driving near the gym today, early this morning, and I didn't have anything planned, anything social today. I have my own small business, and I was by myself. And I just had the thought, I said, hey, you know, I saw a dog there, and I said, I'm just going to stop and see the dog and maybe just kind of go in and chat with the people at the desk who I know. And I did that. I went and did that with the dog, and then I checked in at Child Watch where there was all these little toddlers. Now, and I, when I got in my car, this is really sad to me. I got back in my car to leave, and all that I thought was, why did you waste your time? That was the thought. Like, you know, that what a waste of time. I mean, you didn't really do anything. I don't know. It just, and I'm not really even identifying it exactly, but it made me feel terrible. It just made me feel like I was erased.
Well, the whole thing is designed to erase you, isn't it?
The response when I got in the car?
What happened this morning, and then... Why are you calling in and talking about this on a radio show?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is nothing. This is just small.
Right.
Yeah. So all that happened this morning is that you opened your heart.
Mm.
Right? Your heart opened.
Yes.
And you wanted to connect.
Yes.
And you wanted to connect with this animal and these little children and the people that you know. That you wanted to have that experience in your day so that you're not just working and being by yourself.
Yes, and I just thought about something just hit me so strong when you were talking. It's like what was wrong about it is I was giving something to myself. I was really doing it for me.
That's right.
And
it wasn't accomplishing anything, was it?
I just got it.
Yeah.
And that's just not, that doesn't fly, you know, that just doesn't, no, we don't do that.
We don't do that. We don't do that in our tribe.
Huh.
Yeah, we're not that kind of people.
Hmm.
Yeah, and so it's a waste of time.
Yeah, that's what...
It's not okay. It makes you somehow a bad person.
Oh, I just felt demolished. You know, I just felt like I said, evaporated. It just made me feel terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you going to do tomorrow?
Hmm.
May I suggest a trip to the gym?
I'm sorry?
May I suggest a trip to the gym?
To take a class or just be there?
Just do exactly what you did
today. Oh, okay.
or somewhere else in your life.
Uh-huh.
Something that just warms your heart, that takes care of you, that makes you feel connected to living creatures, and that tortures that conditioned voice that is attempting to control your life so that you don't have those kinds of experiences.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, for you to acknowledge it and say it, it's very obvious to me that's what it was. But I don't quite feel safe alone with the loop, the response system.
Oh, you are not safe.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I will validate that mm-hmm. for you. Yeah, and it's not personal, right?
Yeah,
we know how unsafe it is because what if you had a person out, an external person in your life who did that to you? What kind of motivation could you come up with for what they're doing? To say something to demolish you? To say something to erase you?
Mm-hmm.
Can we come up with a positive motivation behind that? It's really hard.
Oh, yeah.
And if somebody is willing to do that, what else might they be willing to do to you?
Oh, I'm very familiar with it. Yeah.
It is scary.
Yeah.
That's why we have to huddle together
yes.
like this to find the courage to go up against it.
This has been very helpful. I have one last thing to ask about it that I realized too. After leaving and then feeling terrible, there was a desire came up to go rummage through my history and say, well, why am I doing this? Why does this happen to me? What I want to go back to thinking about my parents and my life, and I really didn't, but the thought wanted to, that's where I was going.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm wondering what that's about.
Well, I don't know, and
okay.
that doesn't stop me from having a projection.
So,
mm-hmm. I'm projecting that desire to go there and connect came from an open-hearted place.
Oh, yeah.
The abuse that you get mm-hmm. is designed to close your heart and cut you off and make you suffer.
Yes.
A little ramble down the family history track
uh-huh.
is designed to take you to an even worse place.
Mm.
Because I bet that little ramble wasn't going to, let's review all of the wonderful
yeah.
things that happened to me in my family.
No, I was going to draw what the connections to this particular negativity and
yeah.
being, like, evaporated. Like, yeah. somehow someone thought it would be important to know this. Somehow
yeah.
that would give me something, but it really, I've learned with the practice, it doesn't.
It gives you misery.
Yeah.
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 And so maybe an alternative, again, mm-hmm. is, you see something else that, you know, there's a beautiful street to walk down.
Mm.
Stop the car and walk down it.
Yeah.
Look at the trees, ask them how they're doing, how they see you.
right.
Yeah, if there's a dog, that's a bonus. If there's a little kid you can chat with.
Mm-hmm.
Something that brings you into the present, into that heart opening right here. You know, be in your senses, be in your body, be with your breath.
I don't, whatever motivated me to call, I am so glad I did, because what a different spin, what a different view. Totally, it's just completely, I see it. I see what happened.
Good.
Yeah, thank you so
Good.
Much.
Yeah, practice and then let us know.
Okay.
Good, thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Time is rolling right along here. It was great to have Susan on the air here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. We just have a couple minutes left here. Sherry,
may I say something?
Please.
I love the public service announcements I hear on this station.
Yes, me too.
You know, I don't, I shouldn't say this perhaps, but I don't listen to the radio a lot.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't hear a lot of public service announcements, and they're very good.
Yes.
Yeah, I just came out motivated to get a lot of sleep, which is something
yes.
that I enjoy doing, and now I feel it's really important. And and the other is I want to adopt a sea turtle.
That's great.
Yeah, I love that. You know, if you want an unusual gift in the retreat, people were talking about, well, it's on giving. You know, the more you give, the more you get.
Mm-hmm.
And the trauma around giving, and when you're supposed to give and you have to give and
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what to give and people don't seem really to like it, but you have to give anyway, give them a sea turtle. Who wouldn't want that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for that.
Certainly. And we have a crack team here who precisely select those public service announcements for our every show.
They are doing a good job.
They're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
They always do a great job.
They do a great job. We can just end the sentence there, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, is that baseball game going to interfere with our lives again?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
And if you want to sneak in a little bit of homework before we get off the air, that might be fun.
Well, now, did you have something in mind?
Hmm.
You know, we've never heard from the folks reading the book, so I'm guessing the book club is not a happening thing.
We've had a couple of emails, and we'd love to have some more.
Yeah, okay, good. So what would be good homework? Well, I think that last conversation...
Yes.
Would be very good.
Yes.
But like three times in this coming week, when the voices are saying something hateful, to just stop and find enough nature that there's a feeling of physical beauty,
mm-hmm.
and then come to the senses, you know, just take in what you're seeing and what you're hearing and what you're smelling, and really to be there. Maybe a little moment of gratitude
mm-hmm.
for having senses with which mm-hmm. to enjoy a beautiful world.
Yes.
And then just go back to life, and the voices will probably come in and be even more hateful. And, you know, if you're feeling terribly gutsy, just do it three or four times. You know, each time they come in with something hateful, just continue the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And then give us a call next week and let us know what happened.
That would be wonderful.
Add fun to the week.
Yes. Yes. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. I'm your host, Michael Gray. I'd like to thank all of our listeners today, all of our callers. It was great to hear from everybody. I'd like to thank Jay and Michael for their stellar work. If people want to email us in the meantime, before we're on the air again, they can send an email to openair@kzsu.org. All of the shows are archived at Sherry's website. That's sherryhuber.com, CHERIHUBER.com. Thanks,
and
Sherry.
If you're living anywhere nearby and it's a possibility, come and see me at Kripalu.
Yes, in Massachusetts.
Beautiful, beautiful Massachusetts.
Yeah, I think it's finally thawed out there, so it'll be beautiful spring weather.
I think it's going to be, yeah, we could do that little exercise in the beauty of nature.
Mm.
Not a problem there.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.